Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of thee. I only know I swell with pride, and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory faint, the breeze.
Substitute. a lot of people are getting these little camcorders and, of course, these cell phones which have the camera built into them. And, of course, one of the more recent cases involved the case in Oakland, California, where on New Year's Eve 2 years ago, a young black man, father of a child, was arrested by a BART policeman, a subway police. For people who are not familiar with the Bay Area Rapid Transit, it's a subway, an elevated system, or L system, here in the Bay Area, which is San Francisco, Alameda, and Contra Costa counties. There was a scuffle, and one of the guards, one of the BART officials, BART policeman's gun went off. He thought he was tasering the guy. He said he grabbed what he thought was his taser, and it said it was a gun, and he shot the guy. It was caught on cell phone camera and became a cause celeb. The BART policeman was convicted of manslaughter. They wanted the death penalty, and it's one of these crazy things that has become a political issue when it's just a horrible accident. It's what it looks like to me and to other people who've looked at this. But, of course, you know, we're in the age of any incident can be used by a political group for a political agenda. It's unfortunate. But my point is that cell phones and camera cell phones and camcorders, the prices have dropped it down to where just about anybody can afford one. Even people who shouldn't be affording, shouldn't be buying cell phones, camera phones, these and more expensive models are buying them. However, they can be used to protect you if you're in an accident. I will be putting up on Damn Reckless Driver on our YouTube site, Amicus Veritas, what we witnessed, an accident in which both of the parties had camera cell phones, and they took videos of the accident for their insurance company. And that's what you got to do. You've got to protect yourself. We'll have another one where two kids were driving the wrong way at night on a dark street, on a major street in San Francisco. They wrecked their car, crashed into a pole, ironically, near about 300 feet from AAA's headquarters, their former headquarters. They didn't have a cell phone, and they had to borrow ours and to call for help. This is just one of many examples. And also the fact that a lot of police cars do have dashboard-mounted cameras to record speeders or incidents, so to protect the cops, and also can protect the person who's accused. I think a lot of this dates back to, we can thank, of all people, Rodney King. Somebody videotaped with the old VHS cameras the incident that happened on the LA freeway. Even though Rodney King, later it came out that he was high on drugs, took a lot of Highway Patrol and LAPD to try to subdue him. But I think he's the godfather of citizen camcording, or videotaping. And of course we see James Keefe with his organization, who camcordered or videotaped not only NPR vice president, who would say some interesting things on the, I don't know if he knew if he was being taped, and also Acorn, and then Planned Parenthood. You know, so you've got to protect yourself. I tell everybody, get yourself a cell phone or a camera cell phone and carry it around at all times, because you never know when you'll have to document something to protect yourself, whether from a lawsuit or if you are injured, or if you injure somebody else in a car accident. We were supposed to have, I don't know what happened to all of our audio interviews, and I'm looking here. It was supposed to be up on the system, and I just thought I'd put it up, and it's not here. I don't know what happened. We did rent Professor James Gleason, who's 30 years of experience. He teaches at the Art Academy here in San Francisco. He's also a local San Francisco artist who should be discovered. He has a lot of nice art, which we'll be putting up on our YouTube site. And he did an interview last week on Hitler's birthday. And the reason we chose Hitler's birthday is because Hitler wanted to be an artist. And he was rejected by the Art Academy in Vienna. And, of course, we speculated that if the Art Academy had, the registrar had enrolled him and allowed him to study art, maybe he wouldn't have studied street brawling and how to manipulate people and help create Nazism, one of the biggest scourges and one of the worst political scourges in our time. So that was interesting. There was a long interview with Professor Gleason, and I'm looking here to see if it pops up again. I don't know why, what happened. But anyway, we'll go on with today's events. It's been a lot of interesting history today. Excuse me, still got this bloody cold. So let's do what's April 25th. On April 25th, here are the birthdays. Oliver Cromwell, the Lord Protector of England, is a famous movie starring Richard Harris, Alec Guinness, called Cromwell. Cromwell was the great commoner. He was a Protestant who objected to the Catholic King Charles I, a Stuart, a grandson of Mary, Queen of Scots, who lost her head. She wasn't the only one who lost her head, but we'll talk about Nicholas Pelletier, the first guy to be guillotined. It's an interesting character. He was guillotined on this date in history in 1792. It took him a year to decide to do it, but we'll get into that in a little bit. Anyway, Cromwell's famous because he tried to, well, the Irish hate him because he did horrible things in Ireland, and of course, the only pope who was English, Adrian, gave Ireland to the English, and it wasn't his to give. And he was one of the causes of all of these problems down through the centuries, about 700 years of English rule and misrule and brutality, murder, rape, pillage, taxation, starvation, a lot of abuses that the English over the years inflicted on the Irish. And there's still some hatred there, even after the peace accords were signed in the, I think, Tony Blair government in the last 10, 15 years. In the movie Cromwell, and this is accurate, that Cromwell was so outraged by the corruption in the English Parliament, he came in with his soldiers one day and said, "All you people get out. I'm clearing the place out. You can't even run a proper whorehouse." Great line. Also today, another Englishman was born, Sir Edward Grey. He was a foreign minister just before World War One, English foreign minister, and he made the famous statement. He prophesied what was going to happen to the great monarchies of Europe. He said, the lights are going out all over Europe, and we shall not see them lit again in our lifetime, which is so true, because the whole Hohenzollerns, Kaiser Wilhelm II, he lost his throne. He had to flee to Holland, and he died in 1940. Holland was neutral during World War One. We saw upheavals in the Balkans. The Tsar of Russia, Nicholas II, he lost his throne, and he was executed, his whole family, along with Anastasia, the famous movie, and the famous princess. France didn't have a king, and England didn't lose the king. Franz Joseph, the Austrians, the House of Habsburg, 900 years of incest, as somebody referred to their line. Franz Joseph died during the war. He was the longest reigning male ruler in Europe, about 75 years. Came to the throne what they call the dual monarchy, Austria-Hungary, when he was 18, after the 1848 revolution. And then his nephew, his son, committed suicide, Rudolf, at Meierling, a famous movie. He committed suicide with his lover. We have a rare movie that we acquired for the archives. We'll put up some excerpts when that date comes around. Archduke Ferdinand was assassinated in Sarajevo, in the Balkans, which precipitated World War One. And we were looking for an issue. A lot of these people, a lot of these nations and these military people were jockeying and saber-rattling, building naval fleets, that sort of thing. Anyway, Franz Joseph's nephew, and his wife was named Zita. Archduke Karl became the emperor of Austria, but he didn't last that long because Austria lost the war and they lost a lot of their lands that they have acquired through conquest. Also today, Marconi, the guy who was one of the partially responsible for the founding of NBC or RCA Victor, Radio Corporation of America. He was the radio telegraphist who took the message from the distress signals from the Titanic, which struck an iceberg through the incompetence, the arrogance of the captain. And then also on this date, another Catholic was appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court. This was William J. Brennan from New Jersey, liberal. Interestingly, there have been more of the major religions, and probably Catholics were the second dominant group to be appointed to the U.S. Supreme Court. Before Brennan, there was Edward J. White. He was a Confederate. He was appointed Chief Justice of the United States, and then the current U.S. Supreme Court, or SCOTUS, as it's called, you'll sometimes see that, S-C-O-T-U-S. Roberts, is Roman Catholic. We have Alito is Roman Catholic. Scalia is Roman Catholic. And then we have, the woman, one of the women who was appointed by Obama, she's Catholic. And then we have the Jews, Ginsburg. We have Breyer, and then we have the woman, the other woman who was just appointed from Harvard. Okay, I guess I'm getting slow in my own age. And then one of the great journalists, although he fell into disrepute when he came into the Kennedy administration, Edward R. Murrow was born today, and he became famous because he was in London during the Blitz working for CBS Radio. They had a lot of great radio people. Charles Collingwood was one of my favorite. Of course, we all know Walter Cronkite Robert Trout, great voices who were on radio. And Murrow was one of these rich voices from North Carolina. We also had another one who worked for NBC. Worked with Chet Brinkley, who I interviewed many years ago. a fine gentleman from North Carolina. I don't think he's related to that historian from Texas, but Brinkley had a great voice, and he was with what's called the Huntley-Brinkley Report, Chet Huntley and Brinkley, and they're both dead. We don't hear their type, the quality of those voices in radio today. It's unfortunate. We still have we have demagogues, both left and right, on radio. It's unfortunate. And then we had great singer, soprano, Wagnerian, Astrid Varney, born today, and a great pop singer, friend of Cole Porter, great black singer, Ella Fitzgerald, was born today. And then great actor from New York, Al Pacino. Remember him from The Godfather? And then my favorite, Serpico, played an honest cop who nearly got blown away. He was set up because he was too honest and wouldn't take bribes. He's still living, and that's a true story. And he had a dog, an English sheepdog named Alfie. And I understand he left the country after he came out of the hospital because they put him in the hospital, crooked cops. And then he came back, testified for the Knapp Commission. They always have these commissions in New York because of crooked cops. And New York isn't the only place. We have them here in San Francisco. We have them in Chicago. We have them in Los Angeles and in New Orleans. But he lives, I believe, in upstate New York. He's not a cop anymore. He's on permanent disability, which he really earned. Of course, he was lucky to save his life. And then, of course, he was in The Godfather. And then he was in the remake, but it was a dope heroin theme called Scarface. The original Scarface was during the 30s, and it was a parody, it wasn't funny, actually, on Al Capone. Because Al Capone nickname was Scarface because he was cut in a fight, and he hated that name, and he had a volatile temper. And the nephew, the uncle of Michael Tilson Thomas, played the role of the original Scarface. And I think it was Edward G. Robinson, if I'm not mistaken. Excuse me. And a famous line: the cops corner him behind a billboard. And they tell him to come out, and he won't come out. And then they shoot into the billboard and kill him. And his dying words were, "Is this the end, Ma?" Great. Edward G. Robinson was actually a Jewish origin from Romania, and he had a son who was an ne'er-do-well, and I think died of a drug overdose. And then among the deaths today, this is interesting. In 1792, Nicolas Pelletier was the first person to be executed by the guillotine. It was very interesting. The guillotine was newly invented, and the usual executions were horrible. They were either drawn, committed a crime against the king or somebody important, they tied your four limbs to four different horses and it was called on the rack and pulled you apart. If you had assaulted the king, there was a notorious case in French history where the man's hand was burned with sulfur. His veins were opened. He was castrated. A horrible, horrible death. And this was before a huge crowd. But there was an objection to the guillotine because it didn't provide entertainment for the crowd. And this is one of the problems with public executions and some of these trials where the family gets up and berates the accused. And if he's found guilty, whether he's guilty or not. It's become, I think, a bit of a media circus. But anyway, this was a media circus where the crowd at the execution, the guillotine, and Nicolas Pelletier, who was a highwayman who also had raped and robbed, or at least that's what he was accused of. And he stayed in prison for a year, and they finally, the three courts finally upheld, rejected his appeal, and upheld the original sentence of execution. So when he was executed, the crowd was upset because they wanted entertainment, and they said that the guillotine was too clinical. Of course, it was a very sharp blade once it came down. Now, the last people to be executed in Germany was during World War II. These were a bunch of students who opposed Hitler. They were called the White Roses, the famous movie. Sophie, I think they were Lutheran. And they were university students who were running a printing press and opposing the Nazi regime and exposing the horrors and the violations that the Nazis were inflicting upon the German people and others. And they were caught by the Gestapo and sentenced to be executed. And the sentence was not going to be reduced or anything. It was These were among the last people to be executed in Germany. And then famous composer John Knowles Paine, one of the first American composers, a romantic, and he was the forerunner of Charles Ives, one of the greatest of American composers. And then the last king of Afghanistan, can you believe that? It wasn't the Taliban. He died today. And then we had John Cardinal Cody. Now, Cardinal Cody was an archbishop in New Orleans. It was a movie, it was a scandal down there where there was involving the Catholic hospital, and it was later used as part of the movie called The Verdict, where a doctor was delivering, was operating on a patient. He had done too many operations that day, and he screwed up on the anesthesia, and the woman was put in a comatose state, and Paul Newman played a drunken lawyer, along with Jack Warden, and he didn't want to try the case, and the Catholic Church wanted to put her in a home, and she would get care for life and a minimal settlement. But the Jack Warden persuaded Paul Newman to pursue the case, to litigate the case, and it was a huge settlement. Cody later became Archbishop of Chicago, and there was some controversies about pedophilia, and he was also the Cardinal Archbishop there when Pope John Paul II visited Chicago and was entertained briefly in the Holy Name Cathedral by the Chicago Symphony playing Bruckner's, the last movement of Bruckner's Fifth Symphony. We have a recording of that, and it's in the audio archives. Also, part of that was given by us to the Michigan State Broadcasting Archives. And then Daniel Defoe wrote Robinson Crusoe on this date in history. And then the Suez Canal was started in Egypt on this date. And then you've heard of Reuters. Well, the guy who started Reuters was named Paul Julius Reuter, and he was the first one to use many pigeons to transmit the news. He used 40 pigeons to transmit stock readings for that day, and that started Reuters News Service. You don't hear that much about them today, although they're one of the oldest. Then we had the French occupied Algeria and Tunisia on this day in 1881. And, of course, there had been a lot of problems, especially in French in North Africa and in Algeria, where they had the Algerian War. And de Gaulle finally ended it, and there were attempts to assassinate him by the Piednois, that's Blackfoot. And this is what the mainland French called the Algerian French. And there's still this hostility today towards the Piednois, but it's dying down. And then on this date in 1886, the Dr. Freud started his psychiatric practice in Vienna. And then 1915, we'll play an interview with the last British survivor, Gallipoli. The Anzac troops started to land at Gallipoli on this date. And Hindenburg was elected German president, but he died in office, and Hitler was maneuvered into the second position. When Hindenburg died, Hitler took over and then proceeded to impose Nazism on Germany and then spread it throughout the world. And then Puccini, one of the greatest of the Italian opera composers, his last and famous opera, Turandot, was not finished, and it was premiered on the stage, and it was premiered in an unfinished state, and Arturo Toscanini was the conductor at the premiere. And then the 1926 on this date, we had the problem starting that started with this guy, a Persian Cossack named Rab Pahlavi, set himself up as the Shah of what was known as Persia at the time, but later became Iran. His son later succeeded him, and then was briefly overthrown by the communists, or the leftists in Iran, over oil. And he later came back with the aid of Kermit Roosevelt, who was working at the CIA and the British, because of the oil there. Remember, the British were very needed oil for their ships. It's always been one of their main principles, one of their pillars of their foreign policy, is to control oil. And that's what all of the Saudi Arabia, the Gulf, Suez, all of that has to do with oil, and Afghanistan. There's this pipeline. And then on this day, 1928, the first guide dog was introduced, Buddy. I think he's a German Shepherd. Now, this is interesting. The Guide Dog Foundation of America is headquarters, or was the last time I looked, in San Rafael, California, and it's one of the richest animal nonprofits and a true nonprofit. They really do a lot of good work. As far as I know, I did a lot of investigation on these nonprofits and the bogus ones, and they're one of the best animal welfare organizations in the country. Also, in one of the this day, 1953, DNA was identified, and we've seen where that goes, where that has gone. And then this may relate to Mr. Barack Obama's father. 1954, the British arrested 25,000 Mau Mau in Kenya, or suspected Mau Maus, and Obama's father may have been connected to this. There's still a lot of questions about this whole. His whole Kenya relationship, his father over there, his grandmother, his relatives, and then this hatred of the British. When Obama entered the White House, there was a bust of Churchill. In a snip, he sent it back to the British, and that's really an insult to them. That's one of the reasons why the Obamas were not invited to the wedding this Friday of Prince William and Kate Middleton. The other reason is when the Obamas visited Buckingham Palace, Obama's wife put her hand on the Queen, and you don't do that, no matter, it's just not done. And the Queen reportedly said, "Don't ever have that woman around me again." So that's the reason they're not invited. And then one of the biggest spy scandals in West Germany occurred on this date. Or was discovered, and Willy Brandt was a socialist who became Chancellor of Germany, of West Germany at the time, wasn't united, and he had a spy in his cabinet, a Russian spy named Günter Guillaume. He was discovered. And then this is another thing, a law that would, U.S. Court, Supreme Court decision, you know, to give women equality. On this day, 1978, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that women could not be charged more for their pension plans. It was an unequal application of the law. So we're going to end today. I don't know what happened to this Professor Gleason, so we'll just end with our usual politics and poker, and we'll be back Wednesday, and hopefully we'll find what happened because it was uploaded.
Say, Ben, want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you five. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year.
Big ace.
Ace bet.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here comes.
Possible straight, possible flush. Nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's it going? We should make Jack Riley the guy.
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say when you got a pair of Jack, bet out.
Politics and poker, shuffle up the cards and find the joker. He's a game for children, he's a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet,
when to call a bluff.
All right now, fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paraphrase.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
Well, folks, we'll see you on Wednesday, and hopefully we'll have that interview. It's Peter Paul. Good night.